Dr. Stroman, thanks for joining us. What do you make of Tar Heel sports this past weekend?
Well, again, another exciting weekend for fall sports. It's amazing when we consider what Coach Karen Shelton has done with the field hockey program. Unbelievably, the Tar Heel seniors, each year they finished in the Final Four. I mean, that's just unheard of. It was UNC's eighth in a row to get as far as the NCAA semifinal. The sad part is that the team hasn't won a title since 2009, and then they lost, of course, rallying from a 2-0 halftime deficit, but they did lose to Delaware to lose the national championship. But just amazing coach and an amazing program.
And a team that has lost five of the last seven national championship games, so a lot of heartbreak there right at the very end. But Karen Shelton, you go back in her career, she's won six national championships, eight Final Fours in a row. This is just such an incredible. And, you know, we talk about UNC women's soccer as being the great powerhouse, greatest dynasty in college sports, but Tar Heel field hockey's got to be up there, too.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. You know, this is a player that was world-class. She played in the Olympics, and then she comes back to UNC. She comes to UNC as a coach and just has built the best program in the South, and many would say arguably in the country. But generally, your field hockey is played in that northeast area. But young people like the opportunity to play in a warmer weather climate, and then, of course, to be a part of the ACC, where you're playing with a Hall of Famer coach. It's an incredible opportunity, and she continues to recruit not only the top athletes but the top scholar athletes. They're very, very bright and polite players and students. So I think, again, it's just another big plus for the university to have such a great winner located right here on our campus.
What about Tar Heel men's and women's soccer? They both got wins on Sunday. Men beat Florida Gulf Coast 3-2 in overtime. Carolina women moving on into the quarters after beating Clemson 1-0 at Fetzer Field. What do you make of these two teams?
Well, again, we have a lot more, I guess you could say, attention towards soccer. Not like football or, of course, men's basketball, but soccer and what Anson Durance has done has really, and of course he was with men's soccer way back when, but he has definitely put the big brand that this is a great, great opportunity, a great program to come here at UNC and win multiple championships. But over the past few years, a lot of people are starting to question, which is crazy, of course, but they're questioning what is Anson Durance's style, what's going to happen now since he's not closely tied to the Olympic program. He is behind the scenes, but he doesn't have the team right now. And so his ability to get those top athletes, they're starting to look at some other programs. But Anson has a system that works. And for them to advance to the quarterfinals, it's no surprise. He's very system-based. He uses a lot of analytics. And so maybe it's a good sign that we can go in, if I can even say this, as an underdog, not to be expected. That's a great thing. Men's soccer, of course, has been strong, especially over these past few years. They're still trying to get that tradition going so that it's accepted that UNC men's soccer will always be in the top 20, top 10, and then they're always going to be competing for a national championship. The difficulty for both programs is that the ACC, I believe, has the best soccer in the country. So it's nothing to be ashamed about when you lose to an ACC foe in soccer. You can still end up in the Final Four.
Absolutely. Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School sports commentator, let's switch focus to Tar Heel football, because this team, they've got one more game left in the regular season. They got NC State coming up. Nice win over the Citadel, 41-7. We talked about them at the end of the week last week. Citadel is not in any way an easy opponent to defeat. They're a really good team, and Carolina took care of business on Saturday. Now we got NC State coming up, still theoretically with a chance to win the Coastal Division, and one way or another, we're looking at a pretty decent bowl game again.
Well, there's no doubt that UNC really, really had a good opportunity to win the Coastal and be in control, but that slip up at Duke, which I just hate even saying out of my mouth that really is going to make a difference here, to ask Virginia Tech to lose at home to Virginia is just very, very doubtful. I've been watching Virginia the past few games. They play very well for the first two and a half, three quarters, and then they just run out of gas. And that just speaks to the depth. When you're talking about a top football team, NCAA bowl level, you've got your substitutes, your second team. Many of those guys can actually play as starters. And that's what teams, that's the difference between, you know, Florida State, Clemson, and even Virginia Tech. They're so much deeper. So North Carolina, it's a rival game. Again, NC State would love to be the team to knock us off of a really, really good bowl. And more recently, of course, we know Coach Fedora's had trouble with NC State. And so even though he's courted from four other programs around the country, we've got to beat NC State, period.
And I think it's a testament to what Coach Fedora has done with this Carolina team. I was thinking about this earlier. Like, Carolina's ranked number 25 in the coaches' poll. We're right there, just on the outside looking in the AP. We're 8-3, looking at potentially being 9-3, or at the very worst 8-4. Still in the hunt, technically, you know, not in control of our own destiny, but still in the hunt for a Coastal Division title if Virginia Tech happens to slip up this weekend. And fans are looking at this season like it's a disappointment. Oh man, if only we had not played in the hurricane against Virginia Tech, if only we had been able to hold on against Duke. People are looking at this season, potentially 9-3 in a good bowl game and a top 25 ranking, as what if we had done better. And I think that right there is a testament to the expectation level that has changed since Larry Fedora took over.
Well, there's no doubt he brought excitement back to Chapel Hill in terms of football, and it's not just because of the up-tempo offense, but he's bringing in very exciting players on both sides of the ball, and he's got a swag to him. In fact, following him with the beard, you know, that's even a conversation piece on social media. So he's created an aura around Carolina football, which is really good, because normally, well, I should say historically, in the past, many people turn off football, you know, after October. But people are staying with this team. Hopefully, we're going to have a great crowd. I know the ticket sales are going very, very well if it's not sold out by now. It looks like it'll be great weather. But the Tar Heels will have a chance. Just want to speak a bit on the college football playoff championship, which is in Tampa this year. The Orange Bowl is one of the playoff spots. So that bowl obviously will go to the better performing teams. We've got the Chick-fil-A Bowl and the Fiesta Bowl are also a part of the national championship. But, you know, there'll be great opportunities. Maybe it's the Cotton Bowl in Arlington, the St. Petersburg Bowl, Quick Lane Bowl. It's amazing how these names change with these bowls, trying to keep up with them. But I know there are many Tar Heel people who wouldn't mind going to the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, but again, great bowl, but I think people want to travel. They want to have a nice warm weather bowl against a very, very competitive team.
And I think the Belk Bowl now is our baseline. Like, if we make the Belk Bowl, okay, we you know, that's fine, but we could do better. Like, it's not the be all end all.
That's right. I think you know that Charlotte will be happy in terms of ticket sales when it's the Belk Bowl, but I think we're at the point now with the program where we need to have a very good team, an opponent, so the game is very competitive. There's no guarantee. And then, of course, when you travel, it's really like a present to people, to your fan base, that they get to travel with the team and enjoy the team in a bigger setting.
Speaking again with Dr. Deb Strom and Keenan Flagler Business School. Before we let you go, let's turn our attention to basketball. Obviously, Tar Heels in Maui this week for the Maui Invitational Chaminade tonight. But the big story in ACC basketball, at least, we've got three teams in the top 10, Duke, UNC, and UVA. And those three teams have been right there in the national championship picture for the last couple of years. But a big hit for Virginia. Was it last week Tony Bennett dismissed Austin Nichols from the team? This is a guy that was expected to be a major contributor to the Cavaliers this year, possibly all ACC. He was a transfer. He was looking really good. They got one game in, and all of a sudden he's not on the team anymore. So what do we make of that when that happens?
Well, there's a few things when you think about dismissing a star player, a potential star player from your team. I think it really speaks to what Coach K and Coach Roy Williams have said about Tony Bennett, that he is our future. He's the up-and-coming coach that will continue the tradition of great basketball coaching in our league. But he made the decision, and Austin had actually been suspended earlier as well, but he just didn't abide by the rules. And when you're talking about Coach Bennett, someone who's trying to protect his brand, because it's pretty obvious that this coach is trying to build a program and not just, you know, go with the one and dones or have some great wins and then you dip down. He's trying to build consistency. And to protect the brand, that means making tough decisions. I think in order to do something like this, whether it's Virginia or Carolina or whatever school, is that you have to get buy-in from your players. So I'm sure he went to the captains of the team, to London Perantes, and also to speak to any of the players who have been juniors and seniors, to talk to them about this decision. I'm sure if the players would have said, no way, we can't do this, Coach Bennett probably would have listened, but he still would have made this decision, because this is not about 1 year. It's about the lifetime of the program. And then, of course, I think it does send a strong signal when recruiting, that even though you could have great talent, I'm trying to help you as a man in the future to be able to navigate tough situations and make smart decisions. So he was really recruiting parents. All those parents who were concerned about their sons going to these big programs and so much of a demand on your academics and all the other parts of being a college student, that at Virginia, under Coach Bennett, that we're going to look out for you off the court as well.
Again, speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, when something like this happens, do we have a sense of what it was that the player did? Is there something that, because this happens on a semi-regular basis, this isn't completely unheard of, but what could this have been?
Well, being an insider, I do know. I don't want to send it out to the media. I'm sure it'll come out eventually.
Okay.
But usually in situations like this, it's something that is very unbecoming, as in it doesn't match your values.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that students cheat on exams. Not many, but it does happen. It happens everywhere. That's not enough to get, you know, kicked off a team. Usually it's the type of behavior that would be shocking and it would be very, very embarrassing to a program. We do know that what is going on recently in many programs, well, I shouldn't say many, in some programs, this concern on college campuses around sexual assault,
mm-hmm.
That's enough to get kicked off of a team. That is not the case at Virginia, but those are the types of things where it could bring a lot of shame to your program, and then you don't want to be branded a certain way in terms of your program.
All right, we'll let you go. Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.